Welcome to Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections to the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics. This week's guest is Michelle Cowan, a mum to Albie, who is 11, and Millie, who is 9, along with being a pioneer for women's footy, holding coaching roles with the West Coast Eagles, Fremantle Dockers, and Melbourne Demons. Michelle is also a wife to Chris and sought after keynote speaker in the world of leadership. Let's jump in.
How have you found parenting during the pandemic? Has it changed for you at all? Have you learned anything about yourself in that sense?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I've learned my daughter's really clingy. She's constantly at my right hip 24/7 if she can. She's loving being at home, and they're certainly getting a lot of tension at home. But what it has brought is, you know, it made me go and get the bike serviced and riding around the river with my son on Sunday, which we probably would never have done if the world hadn't kind of slowed down and stopped in a way. So it made me get the bike serviced, and been really enjoying doing that with Albie. We often do what we call a walk and talk, and go for a 10 or 15 kilometre walk, and he generally talks for about 99% of the walk. I'm a really good listener on those walks, but we've changed it now. We've picked up the bike, and yeah, it's been really enjoyable.
That's awesome. That's something I've heard a lot is parents being able to have more quality time. It's been different time to what has usually been experienced in the past, which I think is really cool, and something Jess and I have been talking about a lot around. Some of these changes have been really cool for us. How do we make them stick moving forward when life goes back to normal, or the new normal, as everyone's starting to use now as well? Let's go more broad, and let's go a bit deeper. And I'd love to know, how's parenting changed your life?
Yeah, significantly. It's been the most incredible experience I've ever had, and continues to be day in, day out, and with no doubt a number of challenges along the way, but they're the absolute light of my life, and I know for Chris as well. Just seeing them go through stages in their life and grow up to be the people that they are has been so rewarding and something we absolutely love. So yeah, it's something that you can't really prepare for, as many books you read or you speak to a lot of people about what to expect. You don't really know until it actually happens, and then when it does and maybe life slows down and you do sit back, you realise how lucky you are and how special it really is. So, yeah, life-changing.
So life-changing. Every time I ask that question, it takes me back. Like, my son Oscar's only 2.5, but he's honestly taught me more in his first 2.5 years of life than I think I'll ever actually teach him. In a lot of ways, I think we have it around the wrong way sometimes, or a different way of thinking about it is our children are here to teach us in a lot of ways, whereas we're told a lot of the times that it's about us teaching them and directing them and guiding them. I'd love to know, what have you learned from your kids?
Yeah, quite a lot actually. So I echo your thoughts there and daily, especially with my son doing his maths yesterday with homeschooling. I learnt a lot about year six maths that
refresher.
Moved on from, yeah. But yeah, just daily, I guess it is around the really important things in life. We can sometimes get consumed by our emails or being on the phone and social media and things like that. But, you know, the kids can see that at times, and often, you know, we're limiting them on their screen time and social interaction time with social media and things like that. And they're very quick to pull us up on being on our phone or anything like that. And, you know, they absolutely love quality time with us. And we've seen that recently with the amount of board games that we've playing daily and the competition that's happening in the house. And to see their faces and how happy they are for some of the simple things in life just makes us sit back and think, well, you don't need that incredible holiday, or you don't need, you know, all the material things. You just need good conversation, a lot of laughs, a good sense of humour, and really quality time together has been really special.
That's awesome to hear that you guys have got that and experienced that as well during these recent times, which can be taken different ways. There's people out there that I've talked to personally that have struggled a lot throughout this period, whether it be individually or as a family. And there's also people like what I'm hearing from yourself that are taking that optimist route in terms of what you can learn from this period and what you can gain from this period, which something that I admire a lot is that extra time, that quality time with our kids as well. Let's go back now, and I'd love for you to take us through the story behind the moment you found out you were going to be a mum for the first time.
Yeah, really exciting time once again. Chris and I had just been to America for a holiday and met his, I guess, extended family, and was over there with his mum and dad and his sister, and we went for 5 weeks, which was exciting. And we weren't trying, but we weren't not trying, and we thought we'd just, you know, if it happens, it happens kind of thing. And, we were home, and I remember, just going to the doctor to say, could we just get a pregnancy test and everything like that. And, so Chris was with me, and we were at the doctor, and, the doctor, it was quite funny, and we laugh about it today, but I think about back then it was strange. But the doctor, she walked in and she said, well, you're pregnant. Do you want to keep it? And I was a bit taken aback by that. Like, of course we did, you know, we'd happily married for 4 or 5 years, and
they just come out and said that straight away. Wow.
Yeah, it was a really special time, and she kind of deflated it a little bit by
was having a bad day maybe.
Yeah, I was waiting for the congratulations, this is exciting. And but you know, it was a really exciting time for us, and we're 27, and young Albie was born 11 years ago.
Wow. How do you feel right now reflecting back on that moment?
Well, I've got to laugh about, I guess, what the doctor said in the moment, because I find it very strange. So I'll put that, just sit back and laugh at that. But, you know, a fair bit of the 11 years is just a blur, and I think a lot of mums and dads would say that as well, when you go through some really challenging times and testing times when it comes to breastfeeding and sleep deprivation and childbirth and things like that, which you can never really prepare yourself for. But a fair bit of it, an absolute blur. But when you get the opportunity to reflect back and watch videos of Albie when he's 6 months old or 2 years old or 6 years old, and to reflect back and have a look at those, it's just so rewarding. And it brings back the memories when it all becomes a big blur.
What sort of challenges have you experienced as a parent throughout that blur?
I think for me it was there was a lot around work and parenting. A lot of challenges around mother's guilt or father's guilt for those that have it as well. But there was a bit about that. I was lucky enough in 2006, decided to launch my own business and company, which gave us a good 3 years of a strong foundation in regards to the business to be able to then plan for a family with a business that was hopefully self-sufficient and running itself kind of thing. So, which worked out really well to the point when it came to my speaking engagements, I would kind of feed Albie or Millie and then my mother-in-law would maybe look after the kids and I'd zip out for an hour and a half, do a presentation or facilitate a workshop and come back home ready for the next feeding time kind of thing. So it worked really well with the business, but certainly at times challenging when I had to fly away, be away from the family. I remember one moment really clearly. I was having to fly to New Zealand to coach the Australian Breeze, an under-16s AFL women's team. And it was an incredible opportunity to be a head coach of that team and head over to New Zealand. But it also meant that Albie would have been three, Millie was just one, and I was about to fly away for 10 days, which was the longest I've ever been away from the kids. So I remember being in the airport and the whole group of our, I guess, our entourage that was leaving of about 25 people. And I had my sunnies on because I was crying as about to depart and get on the plane. And I was really upset about it and quite emotional. And, yeah, the whole mother's guilt and also being away and am I doing the right thing and how's Chris and everyone going to go with it all, and certainly a lot of worry there. But what I just keep telling myself is I tell my kids and encourage them all the time to follow their dreams and follow their passions and live a life doing something that they absolutely love. And what better way than rather than telling them is to actually show them with my actions that I'm actually getting on that plane because I absolutely love what I do. I love coaching, love being helping these other players and the camaraderie of the group, but seeing people learn and grow. And so, yeah, it was kind of walking the talk really. And I think the thing that I've really grown to realise is the more that I can take my kids along on the journey with me and them having a really good understanding as to why I'm going away or who is the company that I'm speaking to this weekend in Sydney and what is it that I'm actually going to be presenting on, then they can really be part of the journey with me. And they've really enjoyed it that way. So, yeah, I guess over-communicating what I'm actually doing has helped me with that mother's guilt and that feeling of being away.
I'd love to... Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge you and thank you for sharing that moment as well. It's something that I think would resonate with a lot of mums and, like you mentioned, a lot of fathers out there too in similar situations. And I'd love to circle back to the career piece a little bit later on too, because being a footy nut myself, I'd love to dig into that a little bit more. With that being said, I'm interested in what you said around mum's guilt or mother's guilt, because it's something that I've seen firsthand with both my partner Jess and friends and family of ours as well. When you think about it now, what do you think do you think there's a reason behind it, behind why that comes up? Like, have you reflected on those moments much since then?
I think it's just measuring yourself up against maybe Instagram or social media or people's expectations of the way that they raised their kids 30 years ago and what life was then. But at the end of the day, just come back to knowing that Chris and I are doing the best possible job that we can do and know that our kids are happy and healthy and just stay true to yourself and know that there can be outside noise and you can read stuff and look at stuff but what you take on board is really a choice that we all have. So, just being really, I guess, strong in the belief that we're raising our kids the way that we really want to and not trying to buy into things that we might see or what people might say as well, and just stay true to what you're doing.
That's really cool. And in terms of yourself and Chris, has that taken work at being able to stay on the same page and keep that communication open?
Yeah, that's a priority for us, and I think a priority for any relationship and also raising kids as well, is making sure that we're all on the same path and aligned with what we're trying to do. And, you know, if LB double asks to use the computer and I say no and Chris then goes says yes, like we just over communicate at times, and I think it's just really important. It makes our relationship really, really strong. If I feel like I'm getting anxious or a bit nervous around mother's guilt, then I can have a conversation with him and he just puts me back on track and says, no, but how good is it going to be that you're going to get the opportunity to go to Broken Hill and do this opportunity? And yeah, he kind of has my back essentially, and vice versa. So it is so important, I guess, having a strong relationship with somebody that can really help you along the way, and as I do with his work as well. And we continue and continuously always have conversations how we're traveling and how we're going, and I think you can never have too much communication.
I can definitely vouch for that as well. I would love to take a sharp left now into the place of joy. And I'd love to know, what are the biggest parenting joys that come to mind for yourself?
Certainly, I guess all your milestones come to mind. And then some of them are a bit blurred, but you'll go back and look at those videos and photos and things like that. But yeah, I guess the milestones for the kids in going to school and, you know, learning to walk and all those things that are just incredible when you can rewatch them or think about them as well. Certainly brought a lot of joy. To take Albie to an AFL grand final, I don't think he really realises how lucky he is. I waited a good 35 years before I could go to my first ever AFL grand final, and keep reminding him that only 100,000 people get to do that every year.
For those listening, and because we're not doing this one via video, I'm jumping up and down like a kid at a candy store, because I still haven't been yet, and I'd say it's very close to the pinnacle of the bucket list. So he's definitely going to cherish that, I think, as he gets older, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I'm pretty fortunate, I guess, in my line of career that they've had some amazing experiences. In the change rooms with AFL footy clubs at Melbourne Footy Club and West Coast and Fremantle as well. So they've had some incredible experiences there, which, you know, have brought a lot of joy to their life. I remember nearly ran out with Jack Viney through the banner at one game, and was adamant that she was going to marry him. And then he got married. Got married about a year later, and she was absolutely shattered when she found that out. But some great experiences. And I even was at Melbourne in the change rooms one day, and LB got asked who his favourite AFL footballer was, and I thought I prepped him enough up for this. I thought he'd say Jesse Hogan or Jack Viney or Jonesy or somebody like that. And it was to the CEO and the senior coach of Melbourne Footy Club, and he said, oh, I love Nick Natanui. And so, yeah, there's a bit of a pen.
That would have went down pretty well.
Should have prepped him up a little bit more, I think.
Who would your favourite Melbourne player be at the moment?
I think Jack Viney is incredible. I know he didn't play too well in the last couple of seasons with injury, but at his best, he's remarkable. So I'm looking forward to watching him this year and in the future. He's just a quality player. And Petrarca and Brayshaw, Clayton Oliver's outstanding, and that's probably the group of guys that I was responsible for in my development role and welfare role as well. So pretty closely watching them, but they were great to work with.
I'll tell you what, someone who I'm hoping wins a Brownlow in the next couple of years is the big fella, big Maxie Gawn. He would have to be my favourite player, I think, at the D's, just for, like, he's awesome on field, but it's his character off the field as well, just being known as that. I don't know, he's always got something to offer, something different. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, he's a remarkable person. I think I remember when I first started working at Melbourne, he and Melbourne flew over to Perth for a game and I got to sit in the box and was with the coaching team. But Gawny pre-game, he just came straight up and he's like, "Mish, what do you reckon? Like, tell me what you reckon about their rucks. Where do you reckon I'm going to get them?" And just such a quality human being, really. And still stay in touch with him as much as I can now because he's... yeah, he's just quality, and now he's the captain of the footy club, which goes to show the kind of person he is.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing, and I'm sure you've met so many, many people like that through an industry like sport. It can be an awesome place for that to build those relationships. And while we're at it, I'd love to dive into that further. So you were the inaugural Fremantle AFLW team coach. You're now coaching with West Coast. And from another career point of view, you're a sought-after speaker. I'd love to know how parenting has impacted on your career over the journey as well.
Yeah, certainly some challenge there when, taking on the role of AFLW head coach at Fremantle at a time the kids were quite a lot younger. We decided, Chris and I, to recruit and get on board au pair from Germany, which was living with us for 6 months. And yeah, we had two stints of a couple of au pairs and two very different experiences. But one of them still stays in contact with the kids and was an incredible experience to go through. The other one was a little bit more challenging at times. And on reflection, it's a different way of parenting, and I guess you're really putting a lot of trust into somebody else with your kids as well. And Chris was doing a lot of travel at the time. He was spending a lot of time in Singapore and KL. And then I was trying to have an AFLW senior coaching career as well, which at the time was a part-time role but certainly consumed you full-time in regards to the time and the commitment required. So yeah, we recruited in some help, but we probably, on reflection, and we talk about it all the time, we probably didn't get it right. I think we both were really trying to do a lot at that moment in time and maybe let our priorities, which was the kids and their schooling, like we were always home and I was always, coming home, but really late at night at times after training would finish. So, yeah, we sat back and had a bit of a reflection at the end of my two-year contract and just thought it just didn't sit right for us right now with where the kids were at. Offered another two-year contract at Fremantle, and I just weighed it up from the opportunity that it was at Fremantle versus, the reward and the opportunity of missing out on a bit more of the kids growing up, and weighed a lot more heavily on me than the opportunity of being an AFLW senior coach. So that time may come again in the future when I feel I'm ready. I certainly don't see it happening in the near future because that's not really where my priority and what I want to do right now is. So, I don't think there's many coaches that would walk away from a senior AFL coaching opportunity, but for me, just to weigh it up and make sure that we had our priorities right, and I was supporting Chris with his career and he was supporting me with mine, they both couldn't really work at the same time the way it was. So some honest conversations, a lot of tears, a lot of, you know, to leave was quite upsetting, but I reflect on it and I know it's absolutely the right decision and I'm glad we did it.
Hats off to you from a fellow parent for being able to give it that time and consideration as well. It sounds like it was a bit of a defining moment for yourself in some way. And to hear, like you said, there's not many people out there in that industry that would be able to do that or make that move. And a lot of the times I think those sort of decisions can come down to making a decision with your head or making a decision with your heart. And I can hear that coming through loud and clear that it sounds like you made that one based on your heart. So that's really cool. And I admire you for that. So thank you for sharing that too.
Yeah, it was certainly, I remember a moment lying down reading a book with Millie and Albie, and when I told them that Dad and I had jointly made the decision, the joy in their eyes when they realised that Mum was going to be home a lot more was pretty much the one that sealed it. And when I told them that I'd been offered a role at West Coast, which was after a really good break, they were pretty upset because they thought that it'd go back to being really busy. But I said, no, this is different. You know, it's gonna be a really good fit for us and the family. And then they were really happy and now absolutely love it.
Seems like a pretty cool place to be as well. And I'd love to know from a professional sporting coach point of view, do you see there being similarities between being a coach of elite athletes like you've been and you are, and being a parent? Are there similarities there?
Yeah, certainly. I think a lot of my roles that I've had as state coach and even AFLW at times, but you're the head coach, but you also need to put on your doctor's hat on at times, and then you also need to put on you've always got a teaching hat on when you're coaching, and you've got your empathetic hats on and all this. So there's a time and place as a parent where, yeah, you've got to make a noise like an ambulance and put your doctor hat on and make sure that we've skinned ourselves after falling off the bike, but we're going to get back up and we're going to be all right. And times where you got to be a bit harder, and at times when you got to laugh and be funny. And that's coaching as well. You've got to put so many different hats on. And have a really good understanding of what makes certain athletes tick and what makes them want to perform at their best. And it's the same with Millie and Albie. They're two very different human beings, and I know what triggers Albie to want to do his chores around the house, and I know what's going to trigger Millie to want to do that as well. So it's just having really good understanding of your athletes and having a really good understanding of each individual kid, because you can't put a blanket over them all and expect them to be the same. So my communication styles are a little bit different for each of the kids and very different for each of my athletes.
It's really cool. I've always thought about it like that, but it's really cool to hear it from someone who's in the middle of it right now as well with your role at West Coast too. And I'd love to expand on that more in the way of, we mentioned before that you're a sought after speaker, and I love in our couple of chats so far discussing leadership with you, and it's something I think you have a lot of value to offer with.
Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that's great. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. First, write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Second, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. Third, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Do you see there being a correlation between leadership in the workplace and parenting?
Oh, that's a really good question. Really thought about it. Like, I guess there certainly is. Like, we're just always learning, and I'm always learning in the workplace, and we want to be the best that we can be, and we surround ourselves with really good people, and at home, whether it be you know, with the kids or Chris, like, we just always got to be open to learning to be the best possible people that we can be. So a lot of similarities there. But, you know, I try to make it a little bit different. I try home to be a little bit more relaxed, but in saying that, at the end of the day, you just got to be true to yourself and be yourself in the workplace and not pretend to be anybody else. And so when you come home, you're yourself all the time. So it's you just got to make sure that when you step out of home, you continue to be yourself and not try and be anybody else, because that can be pretty taxing.
Totally. It's something that resonates big time with me.
Yeah.
How would you describe your parenting style?
I'd like to say pretty, I guess, relaxed, but growing up, a bit of influence from my parents, where there were a few non-negotiables when it came to trust and honesty and respect and being a good person. So they probably align with a few of my non-negotiables, and, you know, the number one word in our house revolves around kindness, like continually saying, do you think your tone is very kind, or do you think the actions of what you just did then was thoughtful of the other person? And so kindness is something that we just always are talking about. And then those other ones that for me are the non-negotiables, but I know that I need to continue to help educate the kids as to what that looks like and what it actually is when it comes to honesty, trust and respect as well. So, but yeah, I'd like to think, really want the kids to navigate that through themselves, and then at times, when appropriate, have those conversations about it. But yeah, fun. I would hope to think that they would say that. Certainly like getting out. I have a ball in my hand all the time. So yeah, the kids like that, and yeah, we certainly try and have a lot of fun.
Those non-negotiables you mentioned, I like that term. And I'm interested to know, have they changed over time, or have they been something that's been in place from the start that you've just been concrete on?
I think growing up, like, I was a country girl and had I had an incredible upbringing with my mum and dad. I was probably one of the lucky ones where my sister, who was 6 years older than me, she paved the way for me, which made my childhood a lot easier. I guess she was the one that had the early curfews and the boyfriends got drilled and all that kind of stuff, whereas I had it certainly a lot easier. But my parents had the non-negotiables around honesty and respect, certainly respect being a really big one for your elders. And for me, what's evolved through that is just continuing to educate and encourage the kids just to be good people. It's not that hard to be a good person. So that's where our conversations, if something happens at school and Albie wants to talk about it, it'll all come back to being a good person and the actions behind what that might look like in regards to the situation he had at school, and being kind. So it comes from my upbringing bringing, and I guess is forever evolving as the world does change. But I think kids are pretty clear that, and Chris as well, that they are non-negotiables and what we expect. And I think Chris and I, we talk about it often, that we've only got a window of opportunity to, I guess, help the kids formulate what their morals and their values are. And if we can live by example and show them in our behaviours that we're respectful and honest and caring of people and kind, then, you know, this window of opportunity, which might be up until they're 10 years old or 11 years old that we have, then, yeah, we want to do the best that we can. So who knows what the future holds, but there might be decisions that Elvie and Millie need to make, but hopefully they make those decisions aligned with what our values are as a family and what our beliefs are, and they're aligned with those non-negotiables.
I think that's awesome that yourself and your family live by something live by something in the form of values and those ideas. I feel like in a lot of ways that's been lost through generations. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about being open-minded, and like you said, things change and nothing's fixed or permanent, and that's my belief. With that being said though, we're similar in the way at the moment. We've just got three set family standards. They've changed a little bit in our first couple of years of parenting, but it's something that is front of mind for Jess and I. And it's not so much for Oscar and any other kids that arrive in the future. It's actually for us to hold ourselves accountable to parent the way that we want to parent, or to parent at our best selves, if that makes sense. And it's something that we found really valuable too. So yeah, I admire that in any person and definitely any family as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might have it but may not just talk about it. You know, it might be that they are really good communicators, or, you know, that might be sitting down at the table for dinner as a family and having a conversation. So they're probably doing a lot of the things that we're talking about, but have never really thought, yeah, I guess that is one of our things that we value as a family, is being really honest with each other. And I know that for Chris and I, we really value communication, as I said before. But if he's got a really big week at work, then I really love to know that that's what's coming up for us as a family next week, that he'll be home late nights and probably not joining us for dinner because he'll be working late, or if that in 3 weeks he's got to go to Singapore for a week, then that communication just allows me to prepare for it, to plan for it, and for us as a family to be better to, I guess, experience it when it does actually come up. So it's when the non-communication stuff, if it doesn't happen, it actually makes parenting that little bit more difficult. And we always believe that if we're really, really strong in our relationship, the flow on effect to our family is amazing. So that is a priority for us, is making sure that we've got that really strong communication, but we're showing great love and empathy for each other as well, and support for each other, and the kids can really see that strong foundation that they have at home.
You mentioned your parents before. What lessons did you learn? What parenting lessons did you learn from your parents?
One thing that I reflect on a lot with Mum and Dad is they let me explore and play so many different sports. And there's a time where I reflect on it thinking, oh, I would have loved to have, you know, maybe they could have been a bit stricter and said, no, we've got this new cricket set, you're going to play that for a couple of years and then see how you feel. And I kind of played it for 1 year and represented WA and then gave it up and then wanted to play golf and then wanted to do triathlons and was a bit all over the shop with just wanting to bounce to the next sport and try and conquer the state team for that kind of thing. So I love the fact that they let me explore and just do whatever I wanted. I was very fortunate in that regard. But I'm probably, in reflection on my own parenting, can see that I'm a little bit stronger and Chris and I as well. And if you've enrolled in this sport, you're going to give it, you know, you're going to see out the whole season. You're not going to let your teammates down. And, you know, maybe in the future it is, if we're going to invest in the equipment for it, then maybe give it a really good crack for a couple of years. Really learn the craft of the sport or the code, and then have a go at something else as well. So that's probably down the track when the kids are in high school and those conversations. But at the moment they're playing a lot, but we certainly are big on the fact that they're part of a team and that they need to be at training and be at all the games as well.
What's the reasoning for you behind that? I've definitely got my views, which I'd love to chat about, but interested in your view on giving at that time.
Yeah, I might have just won a World Cup for the Australian women's cricket team if Dad and Mum made me speak at it. Who knows what would have happened? I might be on the world tour for golf. But I think if you do stick at it whilst you're uncomfortable in it, that's where some really great growth can happen. And for me, I probably felt like I achieved a state team, and then I might have got a little bit, you know, I kind of felt like I ticked that box and got a little bit hard in the next level and then wanted to change sports and go and experience something else, which was amazing to do. But I feel in order to go that next step, you've got to go through some really uncomfortable times and stages to get the best out of yourself. And I definitely believe I never got the best out of myself in any of the sports that I represented WA in. I kind of went in, represented and felt like that was it. So I could have seen myself go to a whole new level, which I would have loved to have done. Certainly would have loved to have done it in AFLW, but that wasn't around back in my day, as it is now for young girls and young boys as well.
And it's amazing the evolution of AFLW and women's sport in general from my point of view over the last decade. It's been huge, and you've had a front row seat to that in a lot of ways. Like, have you seen it in that sort of way as well?
Yeah, it's incredible. I often, you know, sit in our living room 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, and you put the TV on and you've got AFL, you've got cricket, you've got all these sports live streamed into your living room with all these men playing it. Whereas now I can sit in there with Albie or Millie and we can put sport on, and it's the Matildas and it's the women's cricket team, it's AFLW, it's all these incredible female role models that Albie and Millie don't know any different. They feel that that is just the way, that is the norm, that you put the TV on and there's men on and there's women on, and you can watch both play, whether it be rugby, soccer, whatever it is. But that certainly hasn't been the way that it was for hundreds of thousands of years, and lucky in their lifetime they don't know any different, and that is the norm.
How cool is that? Like, even just hearing that, and with Oscar being two, it just gets me so excited. Like, he may not have any interest in sport whatsoever, which is fine, but even from my point of view, like, it's as simple as, like, it's double the sport. Like when we've actually put time and energy and money into it, which is starting to shift. It's got a long way to shift still, but it is starting to shift. I think it's awesome. Like, it's awesome for our country as well to be seeing the change that is coming from all this.
Yeah, I remember in 2016 when AFLW got announced, and I was so excited, and no odds Albie would have only been 6 or 7 years old. And I was so excited and I grabbed him and we were hugging and he was like, Mum, what? Stop, what? And I said, we're going to get to play AFL. Like, women are going to get to play AFL. And he turned, like, really angry. And I was like, what's wrong? Why are you angry? He goes, it just should have happened a long, long time ago. It shouldn't have happened now. It should have happened years ago. And I was like, well, you're right. You're absolutely right.
The wisdom in these young people. But it's so true as well. Like, that, if you look at it as how it is, it's ridiculous that it was the way it was for so many years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's really cool to come from your little man like that. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, I had another experience with him just recently the other day. Again, it's just him looking at the world through his lens, and it's a slightly different lens to maybe what people have looked through it in the last 50 or 60 years. But he had a conversation with somebody who was talking about an umpire, and this guy said, well, once the umpire makes a really bad decision in a game, aren't you really angry at him? Like, half the people on the field think he's made a really good decision and half the people on the field think he's made a really poor decision. What do you think of that, Albie? And Albie said, well, if he or she made a decision, you've got to respect the umpire's decision. And the way he just pulled him up on if he or she, because, yeah, there are female umpires, there are female coaches, and his mum is one of them, and he's really proud of that. And that's the lens and that's the way that he looks at the world now, is men can do anything and women can do anything as well.
That's awesome. I reckon that is the soundbite for this episode, that that hits home in a big way. And on so many levels, like, for example, for myself, it's bringing up thoughts of my partner Jess at the moment from a career point of view, who from my point of view, she's kicking goals, which is awesome to see in the corporate space as well. And it's something that I admire a lot and I get a lot of joy out of too. And just crazy to think that 30, 40, 50 plus years ago, it wasn't the norm, or whatever you want to call it. It's a really cool time to be in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Back on the parenting side of things, if you could transport back in time with one piece of advice to your pre-parent self, what would it be?
That's a really tough. I don't think there's a lot. Like, I know that I read books prior to, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, that old chestnut that everybody gets and reads, and you listen to people. But I don't think I'd change a thing. And it's been really exciting to be able to navigate it, parenting, the world of parenting, which is just changes and daily and challenges daily, and you celebrate. You got to celebrate it daily as well, because we've only got one life, and we've got to make sure that along the way that we're really enjoying it, and sometimes not taking it too seriously, and having a bit of a joke with it all. But not sure I have any advice, because no regrets. Everything has happened, and just continue to move forward, and who knows what tomorrow holds. It's just another challenge, and we move forward with it.
That is unique, and honestly the first time I've had a response like that so far in Soundy Boy Parenting, which is awesome, and I respect that a lot, because it's authentic and unique to you. So yeah, again, I appreciate you being so open and honest in that way as well. You mentioned reading parenting books and material before. Have you actually read anything, watched anything, listened to anything that you found really helpful on your parenting journey?
Yeah, I read a lot of, like, Steve Bidoff's books around, you know, raising raising boys and raising girls, and I get a lot out of a snippet of Maggie Dent. You know, she's raised four boys herself, but you know, and I know that I will read the book Turning 13. I've had a lot of recommendations for that for girls, and you know, it may just assist me with the current world of social media and the pressures that young girls and young boys might face in regards to that, and just arm me to have a better understanding and be able to have conversations. And it's forever changing, and I think it's really important for us as parents to, we don't need to be across everything, but if we can just have a good understanding of the foundations of what our kids are doing, whether that be Minecraft or Roblox. Like, I feel I'm pretty across it and know that it's suitable for my son at this stage. And big kid at times where I like to get on Mario Kart and play with my son as well. So
nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
Yeah. And, you know, really important that we stay across, I guess, the online stuff of what the kids have access to, and moderate and that as we all navigate our way through it as technology changes. But it can be an absolute monster, as we've seen in media at times, and we've got to make sure that we have the safety of our kids at the forefront, and that safety comes from us having the knowledge and the understanding of what our kids are doing and what online is as well. So for me, that's an area that I've got some great friends. Paul Littleland in particular, he runs a business called Surf Online Safely and helps parents with how to set up their technology, and but also having understanding of what TikTok is and Snapchat and educating kids as to the importance of understanding technology and the harm that it can bring, but also at times it certainly has its purpose as well. So trying to find that medium, but for me, I continue to educate myself on understanding the changes in technology is really important.
Yeah, that knowledge can just be, that basic knowledge can be that insight to keep that connection strong throughout different phases. I'm totally on the same page. I think there's that fine line between crossing the boundaries and becoming over-involved, like you mentioned, you're wary of. But there's also the other end of the scale where it's just whatever's happening is happening, can, in my opinion, in my experience, can lead to some interesting situations into the future as well, which at the end of the day, no parent wants to head into, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah.
What are you loving about parenting right now?
In COVID-19, right now is quality time and slowing down right now. But I'm loving the ages my kids are at. So, 9 and 11, where Elby, for the first time, like we did a 40-kilometer ride on the weekend, and that couldn't ever have happened. I feel like that was the first time it's happened, but done little rides here and there, but that big ride. So as they get older, the dynamics change in what they can and what they can't do. And I'm feeling like I've just got, you know, three best friends living under the same roof, because you can have so much fun at these ages, like there's challenging ages, and, you know, Oscar, two years old, like there's some, if you're not getting a really good night's sleep, sometimes the days can be that bit more challenging. And my mother-in-law used to say, if you can get, you know, if you can just get a good night's sleep, you can handle anything throughout the day. And she also said, you'll drink warm beer and cold coffee, get used to it. And she was right. She was right. But Yeah, the ages the kids are at now, and Albie and I, we watch Formula One. We both absolutely love the Formula One calendar, and unfortunately at times the races are on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and this is something that him and I do, is I'll wake him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not really what probably a good parent would do, but it'll be a big treat for him, and it is so memorable for him as well, and to be able to sit there on the couch for 45 minutes and watch a race and then tuck him back into bed and, you know, keep it somewhat our little secret has been a little bit of fun. So
he's going to cherish those in a big way. I'm grinning from ear to ear even just thinking about that. I reckon that's awesome. I don't hear that enough. Those, I'm going to call them quirky sort of things we do as parents, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it doesn't have to be that set way. We've got all of this information out there, like you said, around sleep and how important it is, and it is. But those moments, I feel like, are going to offer value in other ways into the future as well, which is which is really cool. We always finish the podcast with a segment called Time to Plug Off. And basically, this is an opportunity for those that are listening to find out where they can find your work, how they can connect with you. Are you on social media? And basically, what's next for you as well?
Yeah. I guess my socials are through Twitter and through Instagram as Mish Cowan. So love to connect through there, and LinkedIn as well. Pretty active on putting a lot of leadership, things that I'm reading and experiencing as well through there. But, thinking of doing a bit of a video interview with Bec Goddard as well, which we're just going to have a bit of a fun wine time and a bit of a chat and things like that coming up with a number of other coaches and athletes, where we'll talk about our favourite athletes and our most challenging athletes that we've had in our careers, which will be pretty exciting.
That sounds fun.
Other than that, obviously at West Coast Eagles, so you can get along to our 2021 season for AFLW and sign up and support the girls and the boys, and absolutely loving it there at the footy club, and no doubt going to go through a number of changes as everyone navigates through COVID, but that's where you find me in the blue and gold anyway.
That's awesome. And I want to, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, Michelle, for jumping on the Sounding Board Parenting Podcast. I hope you've got some value from it as well. And I'm wishing yourself, Chris, Millie and Albie all the best into the future as well.
Yeah, thank you. It's always it's nice to just stop and reflect, I guess, on being a parent. We don't really do it. And for me to be able to stop now and have what's gone really quickly, a good hour conversation around being a mum and a parent has been really good. But I think it's something that we all should really reflect on. And, maybe sit down and write a few things down as well that we got out of the session. It might come down to those values as a family of how we want to behave and what we do. Or it might be about doing some of those quirky things, just being a big kid at times and enjoying it and having a really good laugh. I did one the other day. And I had it all totally planned, and I'd encourage people to do this, but I bought just that cream that you just shake in a can. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
And I knew what I was going to do with it all along, but the kids thought, we're going to have cake with a bit of cream on it. But I landed up just pointing it. So I had the can, and I landed up pointing it, and I was saying to Chris, it's not working, it's not working. And it was all planned, and then I've just pushed it and just sprayed it all over my whole face and my clothes. The kids thought it was just the best thing that they've ever seen. And I just was pretending that I didn't know how to work it, and didn't know where the cream would come out or whatever would happen. Then it ended up going all over my face and clothes, and yeah, it kept, made everyone laugh for a good 2 hours anyway.
Laughter's the best medicine. It's crazy. You just got me thinking on another thought trail around like how kids find it so funny when us parents do something stupid or bump out, like kick our toe or something like that. Yeah. They just love it. I don't know why, but Oscar absolutely cackles every time like I trip or his mum like bumps into a wall or something like that. It's it's strange, but it's really cool at the same time.
So keep doing those things because they are funny.
They are. Thank you so much, Michelle, and be well.
Thank you for listening. Personally, these interviews are providing me a time to reflect on my week as a parent. Let me know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As a new pod on the block, yes, dad jokes are welcome here, it would be great if you could look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and show some love with a like, follow, or comment. Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Steelo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From my heart to yours, I hope you are making progress on something you love and something that makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.